yeah, bruh!
Welcome to the TKD update presented to you by Mo and McGee.
Chicken or chicken?
Welcome back to Mo and McGee on TKD. I'm out. I'm done. I'm out of the playoffs. Your team's not looking too hot either. Sounds a lot like last week.
Yeah, Kevin. You know, I won last week, so shut up about that. However, I did not win. Let's just say I did not win this week, Kevin. We don't need to talk about my team, what happened, how much they scored. They just did not win the game. Let's start it off with a team that did win and I think has clearly stamped that they are the best team, the team to beat. That's Woods. We've been talking about his team the last few weeks. He's really good. Now he has Tony Pollard popping up and having splash games. This was even without his two Seahawk wide receivers who had been fixtures in his lineup. And Najee Harris has a big game, Kevin. So, you know, whatever Woods is doing, he can't really go wrong.
No, can't really go wrong. Actually, this one was kind of close after the noon games. I thought I had a chance, but like you said, Vikings could not tackle Tony Pollard to save their lives. He goes for 37. Najee Harris, you know, I thought there was a chance he could get blanked, but Jalen Warren leaves that game pretty early, and Najee Harris cashes in 27 points. And then Brett Maher kicks a million field goals to score 18 points.
Two 60-yarders. He kicked two 60-yarders.
He kicked three because the one got called back.
That's true. Yeah. Simply unbelievable. Didn't need Saquon. Kevin, what would we just talked, he has a lot of options. What do you think is Woods' best lineup?
Woods' best lineup goes Mahomes, Saquon, Tony Pollard, and then at receiver, this is where it gets a little dicey. We're going to go Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, and we're going to throw Tyler Lockett in the flex, move Najee to the bench. Mark Andrews holding out the tight end position. Niners elite defense. Brett Maher, million long field goals. No holes. Because, like I said, you have Najee Harris there waiting in the ranks that you can just plug in.
Yeah, you're sitting Najee Harris. Tyler Higbee's a top 10 tight end on your bench. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Kevin, you kind of ended your season. Like you said, the noon slate was pretty good to you. Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night was pretty nice. But just a couple bad performances, one from Michael Carter, another from Foster Moreau. I thought Foster Moreau was a great play. Good pickup there, but just didn't turn out great. Travis Etienne being on bye hurts. McCaffrey, Keenan Allen couldn't dig you out of the hole.
Yep. Keenan Allen finally will play 100% of snaps next week, just in time for me to not profit from that at all. It's kind of been the story of the season is this team always looked like it was kind of coming on, some nice pieces, but could never put it all together. And I was never going to score 140 points. I had no shot at being Woods. Really, the only thing I have to look at now is avoid the nightmare scenario of I lose three straight, Garrett wins three straight. probably not happening, but I have to look out for that before I go and start Trace McSorley or something next week or the week after. And I can have some fun.
You can never give up. Heartbreaker for Truck. He scores 132, the third highest total of the week. And loses, Kevin. Loses to Higgins, 144. This was really tight. I think Brad had, you know, a 20-something lead going into Sunday night. He had like a 10-point lead, I think, going into Monday night. Deebo Samuel slams the door. Travis Kelce having 35 doesn't hurt. Commander's defense pops up for 21. Luke's looking like probably he's in the playoffs at this moment.
Yeah, he's looking like he's in. He has to avoid, if he loses one or two heartbreakers, he could find himself on the wrong side of the playoffs. But as long as he gets in, you saw it this week, he has all the pieces to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, A.J. Brown, Dalvin Cook didn't even play that well. He had Kenneth Walker on bye. So put Kenneth Walker back in there, and this team looks, you know, ready to make a run. This is one of those teams that if he ends up in that sixth playoff spot, I could see him, you know, hoisting the trophy at the end.
Yeah, and on the other side, Brad, I mean, it sucks so much when you lose on the defense and kicker. Luke scores 35 on the defense and kicker. Brad scores 1. That is absolutely the difference and absolutely why I don't like having defense and kicker. But you know what? That doesn't matter. These are the rules we're playing. Even though you can trot out David, Jamal, and Devontae, each scoring over 20 points, you still can lose in a given week.
Yeah, he definitely made the right lineup decisions. You know, just sucks. You know, there's no way to say it. He was the third highest point scorer and lost. Just unlucky. Brad now kind of faces must-win territory week in, week out now for the rest of the season. He's got to figure out quarterback, Kevin. He's picked up Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson is not the answer. Could have told him that.
But nice try.
Yeah, nice try. Is this the lineup for Brad, or does he try to, you know, sneak Zeke in somehow?
I don't think he can sneak Zeke in. Saw Zeke with 2 1-yard touchdowns. That's tough to bank on going forward. I'd feel better about David and Jamal. And then he has the 4 wide receivers in Amon-Ra St. Brown, Gabe Davis, Devontae Adams, and Michael Pittman Jr. I prefer Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Devontae over playing 3 running backs that would feature Zeke.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. Greg, big win to keep his, you know, non losing the league, you know, season alive. 119 to 115. This was a close one. Justin Fields has kind of came in and revived Greg's season. Derrick Henry does Derrick Henry things. And hey, Kevin, there's your old friend, Allen Robinson, with 14 points.
Yep. I don't want to talk about him. He's dead to me. Broncos lose 2 points here. You know that Greg had to be sweating this one out. Everybody's been putting up fuck ton of points on him on any given week, and it has to feel good to win a close one, even if it would have been just total bullshit if Derek would have outscored him. It's got to feel good.
Yeah. Derek is also in that same kind of 5-6 picture that Brad is. Really is going to have to fight for a playoff spot. Jalen Waddle coming off bye. We've mentioned that this team's kind of fraudulent. Does he have any chance at the playoffs, or do you think he's kind of at 5-6, just kind of done?
I think he's kind of done, especially with a lineup decision of playing Jerick McKinnon in the flex. You can't tell me that there was a better flex play out there. I don't care if you pick a wide receiver that puts up 0. It can't be playing an RB in a timeshare in your flex, albeit the Chiefs in a great offense. I just have a tough time seeing the range of scenarios where Jerick McKinnon was going to put up 10 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of see it. He had 11 in week 10, 10 in week 9. So he had come off back-to-back 10-point games. But yeah, you could kind of read the tea leaves that Pacheco is going to take over that offense. And Jarek's just, you know, a part-time player. So, yeah, unfortunately, Huber, not looking great. Where are we going next?
We're going Kramer versus Swift. Kramer gets a big win here, supplants himself probably in the playoffs unless he loses out. Jalen Hurts, 24 points. Josh Jacobs continues to be solid, 19. Singletary, Jonathan Taylor. Lots of great pieces on this team. And, you know, you kind of turn your nose up at Paris Campbell a little bit, but 11 points, not too bad there.
Yeah, he's had 2 pretty solid weeks in a row with Matt Ryan. you know, he's Christian Kirk was on bye, so we'll get him back. Jamar Chase sounds like he's getting ready to come back. You take out DJ Moore, Paris Campbell, put in Chase and Kirk. This team looks ready to go, Kevin. That Patriots defense popping back up last 2 weeks, looking like that old team that took you to the playoffs, Kevin. 26 points in week 9 and then 17 in week 11. You know, this team's ready to go. 7-4. He'll have a battle with Carter, I think, for that second bye. He's just hoping to get his horses healthy for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have Christian Kirk and Jamar Chase both back here shortly. Tight end will be interesting. Is he going to be able to rely on Cole Kmet, especially if I don't know if it's a dislocated shoulder or what's going on with Justin Fields at this point. It's been back and forth on that, but a banged up Justin Fields. What's Kramer going to do at tight end?
Yeah, Matt Eberflus said he could play next week or be out the rest of the season. So, you know, a little bit of a difference there. You know, this probably will never happen to Dan again. I mean, Nick Chubb and Justin Jefferson, 9-6. Those guys are just way, way better than that. That kind of swings this matchup.
Yep. And like you said, abnormally down weeks from those guys. Won't have to play Elijah Mitchell if he doesn't want to, with Jeff Wilson probably coming off a bye. Zay Jones is also going to be an option. He'll have a little bit more flexibility in future weeks, which I think he'll appreciate. So I think Dan's is probably the most intriguing team here to keep an eye on the last 3 weeks of the season. At 6-5, he's currently sitting in fifth place. A couple wins, you know, pushes them into the playoffs. A couple losses, he moves out. I think he's one of the few teams that really controls their own destiny here on out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he kind of can shoehorn George Pickens into the lineup. You know, you mentioned Jeff Wilson. He has Chris Olave, Zay Jones, as you mentioned, all options for, you know, those wide receiver flex spots. George Pickens, though, 14 points last week, 18 this week. He's looked pretty good. So I'm interested to see if he makes the start. Murphy had to have it, got it over Grabaugh, close one, 115-106. Really, it was the flex play of Joshua Palmer over, you know, a more established guy that like Kareem Hunt or even, you know, some floaters out on the waiver wire. I could have seen him being tempted to play MVS with Mecole and Juju not going to play. But he goes with Joshua Palmer, and that's the difference, Kevin. Joshua Palmer, 30 points to pair with Austin Eckler, his other charger, 18 points, and really didn't need to have too much from it, from other people.
No, could afford the down week from Josh Allen this week. Only 12.5 points. You know, if you told me that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were both going to play, I probably would have shied away from Joshua Palmer. But Garrett gets burnt again with Mike Williams getting hurt. Garrett getting burnt is a regular theme, but Dusty really cashes in here. 6-5 is a lot better than 5-6. 5-6, he's probably out. 6-5, he's going to be able to contend. I think he's definitely has to go 2-1, and even then might need some help. It'll be really interesting how the rest of this plays out for him. I expect him to not play Joshua Palmer next week. Mike Evans instead. Do you agree with that, or do you think he has to set either Cortland Sutton or Deontay Johnson?
I think he's probably going to be tempted to sit Deontay in favor of Josh Palmer. Is that the most prudent pick? I don't know. Deontay Johnson hasn't scored over 11 points since week 5. So he's been, you know, borderline unplayable. Meanwhile, Joshua Palmer, 30 points this week, 18 points just 2 weeks ago. I think I could see Joshua Palmer playing again here.
There you go. On the other side.
Yeah, I was really this was kind of the one matchup I was paying attention to on Monday night, with James Conner and DeAndre Hopkins just trying to drag Grabaugh back from the death. And they almost did it. DeAndre Hopkins, 18, James Conner, 13. Fortunately for them, you know, Colt McCoy was the starting quarterback. I think if Kyler Murray starts, I think Grabaugh would have been in a much better place.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins was 7 for 77 yards at half. That's 14 and a half points. He ends with 18. If he finds the end zone and, you know, 1-2 catches on top of that, it's we're talking about Garrett stealing a win. But that's not how Garrett's team rolls. Garrett's team likes to take a shit on his chest every single week. And Kyle Pitts returns to Kyle Pitts of old, 7 points. Mike Williams leaves early. That's got to hurt. Oh, man. I kind of feel bad for Garrett. Mike Williams plays that whole game, takes away from Josh Palmer. Mike Williams gets more than 2.5 points. I think that really bites. That's the difference in this one, in my opinion.
Yeah, that sucks. You know what else sucks, Kevin? Scoring 62 points. Not only did I lose, which hurts, I lost to Carter, kind of double hurts because we were, you know, neck and neck in the standings. And then third, I plummet down the scoring leaders. I put myself in jeopardy of losing a couple games and being outpointed, even though I might have the wins to make the playoffs. Just an all-around disaster of a week.
Yeah, Carter only beats two other teams this week. That's me, that's you, and that's it. But he luckily is facing you, gets the win, 8-3, still in that bye conversation. He's going to be battling Kramer for that spot. And his team does still look pretty solid. He had Tyreek on bye, Raheem Mostert on bye. Those guys will be in the lineup in the future. He can cut Melvin Gordon probably. Probably cut CEH. We'll see if he makes any moves or if he holds true to his guys. The old farm system strategy. Stick with your guys. All around looks like a good team. That Diggs, Tyreek Hill is going to carry him in a given week, and he's only going to need, you know, a normal amount of points from the rest of the roster, and it definitely looks like a roster that's going to be able to do that for him.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, scoring 62 points is bad. Carter was almost as bad. Stephon Diggs had 4 catches. One of them is in the end zone. Brandon Ayuk only has 2 catches. 2 of them are in the end zone. And then Cordarrelle Patterson has a fucking kick return touchdown. This game would have been a lot closer because, you know, Miles Sanders, really bad. Hayden Hurst, really bad. Garrett Wilson, really bad. You know, there's no excuse for what I did, but this game could have been a lot closer. He just had, you know, a little bit of a touchdown luck.
You know, that brings up a great point with Cordarrelle Patterson. He took that 109 yards, and he scored 6 points, which is criminal, in my opinion. I don't care if we make it like 40 yards for 1 point on kick return yardage, but to me, he's got to get more points than that from 109 yard kick return.
Yeah, maybe you add 2 points if they return it from in the end zone or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No, probably not.
Kevin, I don't want to do it, but I suppose we've talked about everyone else's team, so let's head over to mine.
George Kittle, 24
yeah,
points.
George Kittle, nice. Yeah, very nice.
You should win if George Kittle scores 24 points.
I should. However, I had to start Taylor Heinicke because there's, multiple teams carrying 3 quarterbacks. He was a bust. Joe Mixon leaves early, concussion. James Robinson inexplicably in a timeshare with Ty Johnson and Michael Carter now. CeeDee Lamb, they don't really need him. Kadarius Toney goes out early, hamstring. Adam Thielen, it was just a disaster of a game for them. You look on my bench, there was nothing better to start on my bench. You know, Darius Slayton, I guess, would have been – I wasn't going to play Darius Slayton over, you know, Adam Thielen and Tony. I'm in a rough spot, Kevin.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. You will have Godwin and Tua back, which will, you know, help a couple of those issues that you talked about. You will have better weeks. You will score more than 62 points at least once the rest of the season. I'd be willing to bet on that. Cooper Kupp's probably out for the season. There's just not as much upside. If you do make the playoffs, which at this point I think we have to say if, do you think you can get two wins and make the championship, or is that a little bit of a pipe dream?
It's a pipe dream, Kevin. Cooper Kupp's, if Cooper Kupp is still healthy, I'd say yes, I have the guns. Even with my RB2 position being an absolute disaster, you know, we've said it 100 times. If you can get 15 to 20 from, you know, Godwin, CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp, Joe Mixon, George Kittle, you're starting out just a super, super nice base. And then guys like Kupp and Lamb, Mixon, all have super high ceilings too. Throw in Tua in there, who's been a pretty consistent 20 points. I liked my chances a lot. But taking out Cooper Kupp, top three fantasy receiver, I don't think anyone can argue that. And replacing him with Adam Thielen / Darius Slayton / Michael Gallup, you're not only losing out on Kupp's massive ceiling, the floor of those guys is also horrifying, as we saw this week. I don't have the ceiling that I used to. I think I don't have the floor either. So I'm going to need CeeDee Lamb to turn into the wide receiver one. I'm going to need Joe Mixon to not miss next week's game. I'm going to need Chris Godwin to be a top 10 receiver. It's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, a lot of ifs. Oh, you did talk about Michael Gallup. I'm curious about that roster decision. Is he merely a handcuff in case CeeDee Lamb misses time? Or what's the rationale with rostering two Cowboys wide receivers?
So my plan was to potentially start Michael Gallup. Really good matchup against the Vikings. I have no idea.
I love it.
So here, my headspace on, you know, Friday night, Saturday, was what the hell am I going to do between Kadarius Toney, Adam Thielen, Darius Slayton, Michael Gallup? The thought kind of came to me that even though it's a really good matchup for Michael Gallup, I can't start two Dallas receivers. And then, you know, it didn't really end up mattering, but he's going to be dropped most likely. So
I think you made the right choice, given those circumstances, and that right choice was to drown yourself in alcohol. That was a good choice.
Yeah. Saturday, me and Garrett went to the Iowa Hawkeye game. I got absolutely obliterated. Sunday had definitely a top five headache day for me. it helped that I could just kind of relax and just take a beating with the Vikings game I had to watch too. So, all around good weekend for the Hawks. Bad weekend
for the Grinders.
Bad weekend for the Vikings, for the Grinders. It's all right. You know what? Here's what I'm going to say, Kevin. If I miss the playoffs, or even if I'm in the playoffs, I go down. It's Timberwolves season.
It's all about Timberwolves. The Wolves season. Wolves up.
Wolves up.
What do you have picked out as the matchup of the week next week? I don't think there's a clear-cut one out there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you know, you could go a lot of different directions with this. You know, Carter and Murphy, both good teams fighting, you know, Murphy fighting for his playoff life. You know, Huber and Kramer, kind of the same deal. But in both those matchups, there's kind of a clear one, you know, a better team. I think me and Dan, even though I had a really bad week last week, you know, me and Dan is kind of battle of two. I wouldn't call myself a premier team anymore, but, you know, two teams that are both currently in, you know, pretty heavily into the playoff picture. Dan 6-5, me and 7-4. If Dan beats me, he likely jump frogs me in the standings. Even though we'd be tied, he'd probably have me in points. So yeah, I think you kind of got to go me and Dan.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you sitting at 7-4, if all of a sudden you're sitting at 7-5, serious questions about making the playoffs. Even if you split those last two, Dan, if he drops it 6-6, he's going to be in back-to-back must-win weeks. You both have to have this one. I do think Dan is slated right now at 8.5 favorite based on the projections. I do like him in this matchup, and I do like what this is going to do to the playoff picture. It's going to be nice and muddy. It'll keep those last couple weeks pretty interesting if Dan can get the win.
Yeah, this basically, like you mentioned, my chances right now are not looking great. If Joe Mixon doesn't play, I'm done. You can kiss this week goodbye because I'll have to be starting. I don't even want to talk about who I'd have to start at running back. It would be so, so bad.
Nyheim Hines or waiver?
Most likely waiver. So whoever it is going to be really bad. And yeah, I'm most likely starting Darius Slayton in my flex. So yeah, not super
confident. So at the draft, everybody was like, Logan, you've got to pick running backs. You need to roster running backs. Are you biting yourself? Or are you second guessing yourself a little bit in that regard right now? Or do you think it is the right strategy, right process? Just sometimes your team takes a shit on you.
Cooper, if Cooper Kupp's in my lineup, the line would be almost identical, I think. You know, Darius Slayton's projected for 10.4. You switch that out for most likely 17-18 projection with Kupp, and now all of a sudden it looks like 115-116. If I had to go back, I would most likely do a very similar strategy to what I did. Obviously the running backs that I tried to hit on didn't hit. You know, had I drafted Kenneth Walker instead of Michael Carter, or had I drafted, I don't know who else is kind of that back end group. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, Ramondre Stevenson, Cordarrelle Patterson, all guys that got drafted way late, all would have made my team really good. Yeah, I don't know. I think I do the same thing. I after, you know, walking out of the second round with Joe Mixon and CeeDee Lamb and obviously Cooper Kupp in the fourth round, I was absolutely ecstatic. I didn't think Mixon would get to me. I didn't think CeeDee Lamb would get back to me on the wraparound. So really happy with those two picks. I wouldn't have done anything different. Do I maybe regret some of those other picks? George Kittle? No, I don't know. Russell Wilson and George Kittle and Chris Godwin all being out for the first 3 weeks of the season kind of tanked me. I lost my first three matchups of the season. My season probably looks a little different if all you know, if Godwin and Kittle had been healthy. But yeah, here we are, Kevin.
Even if you get one of those three, it looks a lot different.
Yeah, here we go.
Last thing, looking at the budgets, Hooper has $174. Murphy has $121. Woods does have $145, but he doesn't really need it. Do you think those guys are regretting not spending money a little bit earlier, or do they look at a team like Garrett or Luke that has $0 and $5 respectively and say, at least I'm not in that scenario?
Well, I think Derek, I was going to try to make a take about Derek, but I don't have any clue what he's doing. Like you mentioned, he started Jerick McKinnon this week. With $174, he could have picked any goddamn person on Wednesday night or on Tuesday night that he wanted and had.
He could have had Christian Watson.
He could have had two Christian Watsons. here's my take. Huber will have less than $100 by week three of next year because, if he listens to this, he's going to realize, though, the best weeks to spend your fab are the first 3 weeks of the season, by far.
Absolutely.
Right now, fab means very little. Derrick Henry goes down and there could be a huge spending spree on Dontrell Hilliard, but I don't know.
Yeah, who's done nothing through the first 11 weeks of the season that they're still sitting on the waiver wire that is all of a sudden going to turn it around and be worth spending a shit ton of money? It's just not conceivable. It's not realistic.
Kevin, what we should shout out looking at the budgets, Carter and Kramer, usually not big spenders, or even you go back to the 7-year history of this league, have not been big acquisition people at all. Both have spent their money wisely. They're both two of the top three teams in the league. Helps that they drafted well, but they've also used their budget to supplement their good teams.
Absolutely. And that's why they're sitting towards the top of the standings.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just a quick little view of the standings. I thought it was, kind of funny that Greg mentioned he is top six in points. He leapfrogged me by 5 points. Kevin, this has to be almost like a historically unlucky season for a guy who's in very much solidly 11th place in the league, and he's sixth in scoring. Can't have happened too many times.
Yeah, there's always a team that gets burnt. And I remember talking about Dusty's team, like having 200 points, more points scored on him than anybody else. It always happens to somebody, but I think in terms of win-loss as a result, I think Greg has gotten burnt worse than anybody else, to my memory.
Yeah, he's had multiple weeks where he's been like the second or third highest scorer and gotten beat.
I really want to go, and I know teams haven't been scoring much against me, but I would like to know Greg's record with my schedule, because I would be willing to bet that he's probably a borderline playoff team with my schedule.
Yeah, probably same with me, I'd guess. Super unlucky. Playoff percentages, Kevin, we've been talking about the playoffs a lot. Barring craziness, Woods and Carter are locked into the playoffs. Obviously, we'll have kind of a dogfight for that second bye spot with Kramer. Potentially me if I can win this week. Kramer's at 95%, so pretty much locked in. I'm at 76%, Kevin. It's kind of interesting if you look at that. But I face Dan this week, Kramer next week. That will have a lot to do with playoff seeding and who makes the playoffs, actually.
Yeah, that'll be really big. Another team that kind of pops out in my mind is Truck, who's sitting squarely outside of the playoffs at eighth. But he does finish the season going up against me, then going up against Garrett, and then facing you. If he can get three wins there, which those are all three very winnable weeks, Trout could sneak in. The ESPN currently has him at 23% playoff odds. I like it a little better than 23% for Brad. Does have the 5-6 record, so it does mean that he probably has to win out. But I think it's possible.
There you go. There you go, Truck. Bring it on. All right, Kevin, any final thoughts?
Garrett hopefully doesn't go 3-0, and I don't go on a 3. That's all. That's all I really care about at this point. And otherwise, I'll be just kind of sitting back in my lazy boy, watching the rest of the season play out and studying up for next year.
Yeah, I had one more final thought too, Kevin. What do you think about how the ESPN schedule thing works out? Because listen to this. Greg plays Luke week 12 and week 14. And then Carter and Dustin also match up in weeks 12 and 14. Bad luck for Murphy there facing Carter twice in the last 3 weeks. And bad luck for Greg facing Luke two times.
Yeah, that's kind of bullshit. I think what's going on in the background is at one time we were a 13-week regular season team league. And then so it does 13 random weeks. Or not random, but order of standings or a predetermined order. You play 1 through 11, and then whoever you played first and second, and then the last team is just random. What we have to do is we have to move to a custom scheduling to make sure that this doesn't happen again. You shouldn't be playing a team three times.
Yeah, and then next year, custom scheduling, I would like to face Grabaugh in week 12. I would like to face Huber in week 13. And I like my last week matchup with Brad. So next year, give me Grabaugh, Huber, and Brad to finish out.
How about we do random draw?
Those are three teams that I know are going to be bad next year. So,
Well. It's probable.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. This has been Mo and McGee on TKD.
See ya.